This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want to call your attention to one verse. It's in 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. This is what the Bible says. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." You know what that tells me? You can get God's attention. Because it says his eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But look what it says. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Let us pray. Jesus, I pray today that you meet the needs of your precious people. And God, for all you do, we're just going to praise you. I'm believing you for a fruitful invitation in the way that you would deem fruitfulness, not the way I would, God. The way you would attribute significance, not the way I would. So would you hide us in the cross of Calvary that people might see Jesus, Lord. God, help people to realize we love them. More than that, help them to realize how much you love them. And I pray this prayer with a grateful heart, for I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a little time, and I want to talk to you about how to get God's attention. How to get God's attention. I want to give you the basis and take just a few moments to give you the basis for the sermon. I read something that said that the average lifespan of a man is 78.8 years. 78.8. So what that means, if you're 39, it's halfway over. If you're 39, it's halfway over. But I started really thinking about that, and I thought, now, here in a few weeks, I'll be 57. So I'm in the third quarter. I'm in the end of the third quarter, getting ready to go into the last quarter of life. Getting ready to go into the last quarter of life. And I begin to think about some things that I want to do. It's the last quarter. It's the last quarter. And I want to go out with a bang. So there's some things that I want to do. Now, I'm not a hunter. I'm not really a hunter. Somebody said, "Why are you not a deer hunter?" I never could understand getting out of a warm bed to get in a cold tree. So, you know, I'm some dumb, just not plumb dumb. Amen? I just never could really understand that. But I always thought it would be neat to go on a bear hunt. I mean, go big, amen? Go large. I always thought, man, that would be so neat. So there's a school, a college that I speak for, and the president called me. He said, "Benny, I want you to do something with me." I said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to go on a bear hunt with us." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No, we're going to go up near Canada, and I want you to go on the bear hunt with us." And I said, "Hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that." And I did it. Benny, did you kill a bear? Well, if I had of, you would have heard about it before now. Amen. No, but a guy that was on the hunt with me, he killed a bear. And I said, after he killed his bear, I said, "Do you mind if I take a picture with your bear?" He said, "No, guard, go right ahead." So I took a picture with his bear. I wish it was my bear, but it wasn't my bear. But this is what I told myself. I said, "You know, you really got to be good to kill a bear." And I said, "That guy killed one. I didn't kill one, but he's an experienced hunter." And I said, "I'm a good hunter." I said, "I'm a good hunter, but I'm not a great hunter. It takes a great hunter to kill a bear, so I don't want to feel bad about myself." And I got home, and the guide called me the next day, and he said, "I want to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" He said, "The day after you left, my 7-year-old son killed a bear." Needless to say, that didn't make me feel good about myself. But he said, "We want you on the hunt." And he said, "Now, you got to have the proper clothes." I said, "No, I've got clothes. I've got clothes." They said, "No, you don't understand. You've got to have camouflage. You've got to blend in with the woods. So you can't wear what you normally wear. You got to make sure you've got camouflage. I said, okay, I'll get camouflage. And the first day we was there, we were having lunch and moose lasagna. And they said, now, after you've had the moose lasagna, we need you to go do something. I said, what's that? They said, we've got this body wash. It's a no-scent body wash. You're going to have to bathe yourself in it because you've had moose lasagna. And the bear can smell the moose lasagna. I said, I didn't have enough of it for him to smell it. I can promise you. But said, the bear can smell it. And said, it will get the bear's attention. So you be sure and bathe in this. Don't put on any deodorant. I said, why? Because they said it will get the bear's attention. And I said, let me explain to you. There's a drink that I like to drink. It's called Diet Mountain Dew. And I thought I would take one out with me. They said, no. No, you can't do that. I said, I can't do it. They said, no. It will get the bear's attention. They said, all you need to do is take the empty bottle. I said, the empty bottle. They said, yes, you're going to be out there for about 6 hours. And you can't use the bathroom. Why? Because it will get the bear's attention. I said, well, I've got a book. I'm reading this book. They said, no. Because when you turn those pages, it will get the bear's attention. They said, are you planning on wearing that ring that you've got on? I said, I thought I would. It's my wedding ring. I've been wearing it now for 37 years. I thought I would. They said, no. You can't wear it. I said, what do you mean? They said, you've got to put a camouflage glove over it. I said, that? They said, it might get the bear's attention. So be sure and put a glove over the ring. And they said, now talking. We understand that every day you call people in your church and wish them a happy birthday. I said, I do. They said, you can't do it here because that will get the bear's attention. So basically what I can do is for 20 feet in the air, sit in a stand and barely breathe. Because anything I do is going to get this bear's attention. Because this bear can smell 100 times better than a human. And I'm going to get the bear's attention. So I crawled up in the stand and I began to think about everything I do will get this bear's attention, stray him off. And I thought, what gets God's attention? What gets God's attention? What brings God's manifested presence? Because I want God's attention. Amen. I want God's attention. I want God's attention on my life. I want God's attention on my family. I want God's attention on my ministry. What brings and what gets God's attention? I want to give you what I believe are 4 or 5 things that gets God's attention. The first thing that gets God's attention is desperate prayer. Desperate prayer. See, I believe God in our lives will bring us to the point of desperation, that he might bring us to the point of dependence, that he might bring us to the point of deliverance. Notice I didn't just say prayer, but I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's desperate prayer that gets God's attention. Did you ever think about this? How did Jesus pray? He prayed, but how did he pray? Hebrews 5:7 says that he prayed with strong crying, supplications, and tears. I'll tell you how he prayed. He prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood. There is a difference, ladies and gentlemen, and praying and being desperate in prayer. There's a difference in praying and being desperate in prayer. But when we're desperate in prayer, it gets the attention of an almighty God. In Mark chapter 4, the Bible says something. It says, in the same day when the evening was come, they came to the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus said, disciples, let's go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full of water. Get this, folks. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They were in the perfect will of God, but they got into a storm. You can be in the perfect will of God and be walking through hell. You can be in the perfect will of God and be going through a storm. The good news is this. If Jesus said, let's go to the other side, we're going to make it to the other side. We're going to make it to the other side because he said, let's go to the other side. Now look what the Bible says. He was on the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. I don't know if he got it from Mike Lindell, but he was asleep on a pillow. And look what the Bible says. And they awake him and say unto him, Master. Get this, folks. Understand something. The lightning didn't wake him. There's only one record in the entire Word of God of Jesus sleeping, and it's right here. There's only one record in the entire Word of God of Jesus sleeping, and it's right here. The lightning didn't wake him. The thunder didn't wake him. The storm didn't wake him. The boat being full of water didn't wake him. But when his children thought they were at the end of their rope, when they thought they were drowning, when they thought all hope was gone, when they thought they were at the end and they cried out, the Bible says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible says, he arose. I want you to know something. God responds to desperate prayer. God responds when we get to the point of desperation. Barbara and I got married, and her mother's a devout Christian. And I said, is your dad a Christian? She said, no, he's not. My daddy's not a Christian. And I started going to church with them. And she would stand up in church and she would say, I want everybody to pray for my husband. His name is Jim. He's lost. He's on his way to hell. Jim needs to be saved. And the invitation would be given. And she would make her way to an altar. I've never been in service with a woman that she didn't make her way to an altar. I've never been in service with her when she didn't go down, get on her knees, and pray for her husband. And I'd hear her crying out to God, please save Jim. Please deal with Jim's heart, God. One day I came in from work, and Barbara was crying. I said, Barbara, is something wrong? She said, not anything's wrong. Everything's wonderful. Daddy called me. Daddy told me that last night he got saved. Last night he got saved. And after my daddy got saved, he looked at my mother and said, Renice, you prayed this on me. You prayed this on me. You prayed this on me. All I want to say, folks, when we desperately pray, it gets God's attention. When we think all hope is gone and we cry out to God, it gets God's attention. The second thing that gets God's attention is sacrificial giving. It's sacrificial giving. We're never any more like Jesus than when we're giving. Johnny said to Mom, "Can you give me $20? Mom said, "No way." He said, "Mom, if you do, I'll tell you what Daddy said to the maid while you were at the beauty shop." She started reaching for that pocketbook. Gave that $20. She said, What did Daddy say to the maid? Daddy said to the maid, "Be sure and wash my socks." Listen. He got Mama's attention. He got Mama's attention. I don't know if you've ever thought about this story, but it's in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Get this story. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld the people that cast their money into the treasury, just like we will do today. Maybe have done. "And many were rich, cast in much." Now wait. "There was a poor widow. She threw in two mites." That's 1/8 of a cent. She threw in 1/8 of a cent. And look what the Bible says. I've never noticed this. Perhaps you have. When she did this, Jesus said to those disciples, "Come here, guys. Come here, guys. I want you to see this. Come here, guys. Come here, disciples. I want you to see this. This poor widow has cast more than all those that gave big gifts." Because in the next verse, "For they cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living." What did she do? She gave all she had to live on. I'm not going to camp here long, because I've been doing it long enough. When you preach about giving, it gets real quiet. But here's what I'll say. Many times we're focusing on what people give. Jesus focused on what they had left. Many times we're focused on, "Oh, what a large gift." But Jesus is focused on what they had left. All I'm trying to say today, hey, by the way, this is good preaching. Because I'm knee deep in the Word of God. I'm knee deep in the Word of God. And here's what I want you to say. You want to get God's attention? Sacrificial giving, desperate prayer. But while I was standing, sitting in that bear stand, not seeing a bear, I said, there's a third thing that gets God's attention. It's painful tears. It's painful tears. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 20, God said to Isaiah, "Isaiah, you go down to the king's house, King Hezekiah, king of Judah, and you tell him he's going to die. Get his house in order. Line up the roll call. Who's going to be in authority? Get his will ready. He's going to die and not live." And Isaiah went down to Hezekiah's house and said, "Hezekiah, you need to get things in order." And in verse 3, Hezekiah said, "God, I want to remind you of something. I've lived a life of integrity. I've walked before you in integrity. I've walked in truth." And the Bible says Hezekiah wept sore. Now this is all I want to say. Can you change God's mind? Apparently he did. Because God said, "Isaiah, you go back down there and you tell him I've added 15 years to his life.
And verse 5 tells us why. I heard his prayer,
but I've seen thy tears. Let me tell you something. Tears attract God's attention. You said, Pastor, I'm going through a hard time. I'm sorry, but I want you to know something. Tears attract the attention of God. You want to get God's attention? Try tears. You want to get God's attention? Try brokenness. You want to get God's attention? Try weeping. Because Psalms 56 verse 8 says God takes our tears, even in heaven, and he puts them in a special bottle. Bottles our tears. Because tears, ladies and gentlemen, get the attention of God. You say, Pastor, I'm weeping before God over my marriage. Tears get the attention of God. I'm weeping before God over my situation. Tears get the attention of God. I'm weeping before God over what's happening with my child. Tears get the attention of God. Folks, if there's ever been a time that we need God's attention, it's now. If there's ever been a time that we need God, it's now. And Pastor, what gets the attention of God? Desperate prayer, sacrificial giving, painful tears. Let me tell you the fourth thing that gets God's attention. Sacrificial praise. Sacrificial praise. There's a verse that I never thought about it until I was in that bear stand. Hebrews 13 and 15 says this: offer up the sacrifice of praise. Did you know the Bible speaks more about praising the Lord than it does praying to the Lord? Did you know there's 7 different Hebrew words used for praise? Now, I believe there's a difference in just praising God and in sacrificially praising God. When we sacrificially praise God, that's when our world is not going well. Everything is collapsing around us. But we say, I want to be like Job. I've lost my family. I've lost my finances. I've lost my friends. I'm frustrated. But though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. Though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. It's when we're like the 3 Hebrew children who said, by the way, King, the God that we serve, he's able to deliver us out of this fire. Oh, goodness gracious. Sometimes, folks, he don't deliver us out of the fire. He delivers us in the fire. Amen? The God that we serve, he's able to deliver us. But by the way, O King, even if he don't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down. We're going to praise the Lord. There's something about sacrificial praise. Psalms 147 says this, folks. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. Look, when we praise him, he heals our broken hearts. When we praise him, we don't even realize it, folks, but while you're praising the Lord, he's healing your broken heart. While you're praising the Lord, he's binding up your wounds. While you're praising the Lord, he's doing exploits in your mind, and in your heart and in your life. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. Sacrificial praise will get the attention of God. That's when things are not going good, but I'm going to praise God anyway.
See, there's four states. There's four states of life. There's people who constantly complain and grumble. There's people today that you won't get anything out of church. You won't get anything because all you can do is critique everything that's wrong. Constantly grumble and complain. But I want you to know something. Psalm 77:3 says this. When I complained, my spirit's going to be overwhelmed. And folks, if I live in a lifestyle and spirit of always complaining, my spirit's going to be overwhelmed. And look, then there's state number two. It's people who live lives of ingratitude. People who live lives of ingratitude. Just not grateful. Folks, we are so blessed. How many of you today had to decide? You got up this morning and you had a good shower. I hope you did. You got up and you had a good shower, bath. And then you had to decide what you were going to wear. I had to decide what I was going to wear. Hey, just out of curiosity, how many of you, it was a decision what you were going to wear today? You tell me we're not blessed. You tell me we're not blessed. Oh, don't you tell me we're not blessed. You know what I know, folks? You know what we're worried about? We're worried about eating too much. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm worried about eating too much? Get them both up, wave them to Jesus. Amen. Most people in our world are worried about something to eat. People who live lives of ingratitude. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Well, I've got shoes on my feet. I've got plenty to eat. I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen. Thank God for dirty dishes. Thank God for dirty dishes. For they have a tale to tell. While others are going hungry, while we're all doing pretty well, with home and health and happiness, we should not make a fuss by the stack of evidence before us. God's been very good to us. There's a third state. It's people who praise God for obvious blessings. Sure, you got a new car, praise the Lord. The COVID test was negative, praise the Lord. Well, anybody can do that. You're just praising Him for the obvious. Look here, folks. There's two ways to live life. Two ways. Either nothing is a miracle, or everything is a miracle. Either nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle. And lastly, people who praise God at all times. Because 1 Thessalonians says, in everything, just give thanks, for this is the will of God. Okay. 3 to 12, if you're taking medication. But I won't be done by 12. I said in that stand, that's it, God. 4 good points, I'm done. And it's like God said, no. There's one other thing that gets my attention. That's a repentant child. A repentant child. A repentant child. Let me explain. You know the story of the prodigal son? He goes out and he's living a sinful life. He goes out with the harlots. I don't know everything he does, but he left the father's house and he goes out. But look what the Bible says. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm not worthy. God, I'm not worthy to be your son. I've been down in that pig pen. I've been eating those husks that the swine would eat. I'm a Jewish boy. God, can I just be one of your hired servants? Look what the Bible says. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Why did he see him, folks, when he was a great way off? Because he was looking for him. He was looking for that boy. And when the father saw him, he had compassion. Get this, folks. And he ran. The only time in the Bible that God ever ran was right here. But when that boy wanted to come home, he got God's attention. When that boy wanted to make things right, he got God's attention. And folks, when we want to get right with God, we can get his attention. Because he's interested in that repentant child. He's interested in that child that wants to come home. And he saw him and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He said, Daddy, I've sinned against heaven and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, let's do something. Put the best robe on him. The best robe was for the guest of honor. Put the best robe on him. By the way, because of sin, he's pawned his signet ring. Get a signet ring and put it on his finger. And he said, the slaves go barefooted. The servants go barefooted. But he's not a servant. He's my son. So you make sure you put shoes on his feet. Let me tell you something, folks. What gets God's attention is when that child wants to come back home. What causes God to run is when that child wants to come back home. Over 20 years ago, I told this story. 20 years ago, I was about 20. Just making sure you were still with me. 20 years ago in the old church, I told this story about a preacher being on a train. He'd been away preaching. And he was seated on the train and there was a young man beside him and he was crying and he could tell he was emotional. And he said to that young man, what's going on, son? I'm a pastor. I can tell you're emotionally distraught. He said, well, preacher, I'm glad you're here. Because he said, 2 years ago, I got into it with my daddy. And I did something that I've regretted so long. I hit my daddy. My daddy said, you leave. He said, I left. And for 2 years, I've lived like hell. But he said, 2 weeks ago, I got saved. Preacher, 2 weeks ago, I gave my life to Christ. And he said, I wrote my daddy a letter. And I said, Daddy, I want to come home. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I wrote Daddy a letter. And I said, Daddy, if I can come back home, I'm going to be on a train. The old apple tree out front, would you just hang a white rag in the tree? And that way I'll know it's okay to come back home. About 15 minutes passed and he looked over at the preacher and he said, preacher, my house is right down here on the curve. I can't bring myself to look. Would you look? and see if there's a white rag hanging in an apple tree? He said, I sure will. That train lapped, and he said, son, I've got good news. There's white towels hanging all over that tree. And at the base of it, there stands an old man and a woman, and they're waving a white sheet. That's emotional for me, because I've all thought about all the times in my life that God's waved a white sheet. All the times I've messed up, but he still waved the white sheet. Because when I want to come back home, it gets God's attention. We get God's attention through desperate prayer. We get God's attention through sacrificial giving. We get God's attention through painful tears. We get God's attention through sacrificial praise. But when a repentant child wants to come home, we get God's attention.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.